Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Pitch. Stott scores the winning run. 7-6 Phillies on a wild pitch that got just maybe 15 feet away. Stott came barreling down the line. Ruiz throw is behind Finnegan, and a brutal way to walk it off.
Yeah, brutal way. Dave Jagler on the call last night for Nats Radio and 106.7 The Fan, our sister station. What was even worse was the play before. More on that coming up in a moment. Good day, everybody. Rough loss for the Nats last night. But could there be another big loss coming for the city? How premature was the RFK return of the football team celebration on Monday? Apparently, they don't have the votes as of now. 7 city council votes needed to pass what the mayor negotiated, and they don't have him yet. Barry's Verluga will join us at 12 noon to get into the details of what happens next and why the current state of the deal is a bad one for the city. Chris Miles from NBA TV will join us at 11. We had another night of wild NBA finishes, including a finish that Giannis Antetokounmpo was involved in post-game with the father of an opposing player. Parents never come out onto the floor. Fred Smoot will join us on the show today with his recap of the Skins draft. Real quickly on the Nats game, because I happen to have been watching it last night. What a rally in the ninth. Lowe with the 3-run shot after Wood had a double and brought in a run. The Nats had 4 in the top of the ninth. They went into that inning down 5-2. They left it up 6-5. Kyle Finnegan came in. It was not a pleasant ninth inning because it started with a single, then a walk. Still had an opportunity, though, with one out and Rojas up. And after a long at bat and a relatively short fly ball to right field, an excellent throw, I thought, from Dylan Cruz. Maybe some of you Nats fans would say that it was a bit off to K-Bear Ruiz. But I thought Ruiz should have pulled that throw in and tagged out the runner, which was bomb, and they didn't. And that tied the game, and the next batter was wild pitch, game over. The Nats have been competitive, though, man. They've really been competitive, and, man, they are a completely different offensive baseball team than they were last year. C.J. Abrams last night, 4-for-5. James Wood, another hit and another RBI, and then the big bomb by Lowe in the ninth, 3-run shot that gave the Nats their lead. Another one with Philadelphia tonight. I want to start the show, or at least continue the opening segment of the show, with this from Edward, because we have not had a chance to talk about this. I did talk about this yesterday on my podcast with Tommy, and there was a lot of response to it, and we can talk about it right now, because just too much of our own draft to be concerned with than the rest of it. But it comes from Edward. Edward writes, Kevin, the NFL draft is all you said yesterday it is. especially when it comes to the unpredictability and the impossible to predict part of it. But it's a lot more than that. It's a chance for the NFL to make a statement on players and families they don't like. Shedeur Sanders and family should sue the league for what happened over the weekend. It was disgusting. Thank you, Edward. Appreciate that. You can follow me on Twitter at Kevin Sheehan DC. Tweet me. You can also go to my website, thekevinsheehanshow.com, which is my podcast website, and email me if you want. Yeah, so we haven't gotten to the Shedeur Sanders thing. It was pretty wild, you know, over the weekend. He was, you know, going into the draft, you know, a couple of months ago, considered to be a lock to be a first-round pick. And then as we approached the draft, it became pretty apparent that the league's evaluation of Shedeur Sanders was not necessarily the same evaluation outside analysts and outside mock drafters were giving Shedeur Sanders. Because we went from, you know, is he potentially a top three pick with either Cleveland or the Giants picking at 2-3 after Cam Ward. And look, Cam Ward wasn't always the default number one. There was a time during this season where Shedeur Sanders was considered to be a possibility to go number one overall. And we're not talking about like the year before. The year before, Shedeur Sanders was absolutely a consensus pick to be the number one quarterback anyway, taken in the draft. Travis Hunter and Abdul Carter were always supposed to go really high in the draft, even if you look back 6 months or a year ago. This was not necessarily a Sam Howell situation where, remember, Sam Howell, the year before he came out, was predicted to be a very high draft pick, a very high first rounder. Some even had him number one overall, and he ended up going in the fifth round, if you recall. This was, you know, Shedeur Sanders kind of falling from the perch of a potential number one to then it became clear that Cam Ward would be the number one pick in the draft, which, by the way, I think made a lot of sense in terms of the first quarterback taken in the draft. And then, you know, as we got into the final weeks before the draft, you started to hear, well, the Giants and the Browns are not going to take Shedeur Sanders because Abdul Carter and Travis Hunter are, you know, kind of generational prospects, or however, you know, you want to describe them. Very, very strong draft prospects and just better, you know, surefire things than Shedeur Sanders. And then it, you know, all got focused on, oh, wow, New Orleans is going to benefit from this. They pick nine. They need a quarterback. Derek Carr is hurt. And by the way, he is hurt, and he confirmed that the other day. It'll be interesting to see what New Orleans does. They took Tyler Shook in the draft. I don't know if he'll be the starter. Perhaps it's Spencer Rattler. I don't know. New Orleans is in a heap of trouble. You know, cap issues, you know, depth issues. They've got some good players, but Kellen Moore is going to struggle there, you would think, for a while. But anyway, then it was, well, New Orleans is like, nah, they don't want Shedeur Sanders. So then it became Pittsburgh at 21. Pittsburgh doesn't have a quarterback. Although I was reading something yesterday after the show. They like Mason Rudolph. And when I say they, the players apparently really like Mason Rudolph as their quarterback. Mason Rudolph has played in a bunch of games for the Steelers, you know, in recent years. He was actually last year not in Pittsburgh. He was in Tennessee, not in Pittsburgh. But apparently they like Mason Rudolph a lot. You know, I went back to see when Mason Rudolph was picked and what draft, because quarterbacks, man, you don't know. Geno Smith, Baker Mayfield, we've had so many examples of quarterbacks being completely counted out. Now, Mason Rudolph was not the prospect that Baker Mayfield was, who went number one overall. Mason Rudolph went in the third round of the 2018 draft to the Steelers. He is 29 years old, but he will be 30 when the season starts. But I was reading something where the Steelers are okay if they don't get Aaron Rodgers. And there's still a possibility if Rodgers decides to move on and retire that Kirk Cousins could be the Steelers' move. But in reading this story out of Pittsburgh, it was like the players love Rudolph. The coaches love Rudolph. Come on, man. You can't go into a season with Mason Rudolph as your starting quarterback, can you? I don't think you can. They drafted, by the way, the Ohio State quarterback, Will Howard. I don't think he is, you know, certainly not as a rookie. He's not going to be, I don't think, a starting quarterback. But, you know, who knows? Anyway, back to, you know, Shadur. So the 21st pick was thought to be, well, he's not going to get by 21. You know, his over-under on draft position, odds-wise, went from 9.5, which was the New Orleans spot, for several months, to 21.5 as we approached last Thursday, which was the Steelers' position. And everybody said, look, if the Steelers don't take him, he's not going to get picked in the first round. And then it'll be unless somebody trades back into the end of the first round. That was the discussion, right? If somebody trades back into the end of the first round, fine. But if not, it's going to be at the top of the second round. You know, it's going to be, you know, Cleveland at the top of the second round because they had two picks to start the second round after they traded with Jacksonville. There was the possibility of the Saints at 40 overall in the second half, but the Steelers didn't have a second round pick. Nobody thought that he would get past the second round. People were saying a week ago today, Shadur Sanders may not go in the first round. You know, that was a distinct possibility at that point. But anyway, the draft comes about. And Shadur Sanders, by the way, made the decision not to show up for the draft in Green Bay because I guess he felt there was a possibility that he might not get picked in the first round, although he threw a hell of a party with his, you know, with his brand, Legendary, you know, marked all over the scene in which he was holding this draft party for the weekend last weekend. So the draft comes last week. We get one quarterback taken at number one overall, Cam Ward, expected. And then the Giants made a move into the draft. You know, one of the things that I wish I had said before the draft, because, you know, we get so much right about the draft, is that what made sense, actually, for a trade back into the first round of the draft was at pick number 25 with Houston right before the Rams picked, because the Rams were supposedly looking for the replacement, the eventual replacement for Matt Stafford. And they may have taken a quarterback at 25. And the Giants clearly thought the Rams had a chance to take a quarterback at 25, or there was a chance they were going to take a quarterback at 25. And it may have been Jackson Dart. And when the Giants traded into that spot at 25, one ahead of the Rams with Houston, you know, everybody held their collective breath. Is this where Shadur Sanders goes? Because remember, during the offseason, Deion had said, you know, there are certain places he's not going to play. You know, they played their, you know, Archie Manning. Deion played his Archie Manning hand from back in the 2004 draft when they held Archie, when they held Eli back from going to the Chargers and they forced a trade. And so there was a lot of discussion. I'm sure most of you know a lot of the story going into it with respect to Deion, you know, suggesting that there were certain teams he was not going to allow his son to play for. You know, we were going to kind of dictate where he got picked. That kind of looks silly in hindsight. But anyway, the Giants jumped up and they took Jackson Dart in the first round, quarterback Ole Miss. And then you just started to see quarterbacks come off the board on night two. No Shadur Sanders. Tyler Shook, second round to the Saints. Jalen Milroe, third round to the Seahawks. And then the shocker, the Cleveland Browns are going to take a quarterback late in the third round. Here we go. And they select Dillon Gabriel, who, by the way, going into this draft, was not supposed to be drafted anywhere near the third round. In fact, some, you know, analysts had an undrafted free agent grade on Dillon Gabriel. And the reason being, Dillon Gabriel is like 5'9". I will tell you this, though, about Dillon Gabriel. I'm not sure last year in college football I watched a quarterback that processed and got the ball out quicker than Dillon Gabriel. Part of that is the, you know, Oregon offense. Understood. But he is super quick processing, super quick release. And somebody, the Browns apparently, saw maybe the next Drew Brees, a left-handed version of Drew Brees. So they took Dylan Gabriel, and then night two ended, and Shedeur Sanders was still on the clock. Well, he's got to get picked early in the fourth round, right? Nope. He didn't get picked until the fifth round by the Cleveland Browns after they picked Dylan Gabriel. Oh, by the way, Cleveland traded up to pick 144 to select Shedeur Sanders. So he's taken there at 144 out of a draft, by the way, that has 257 players taken. So he was in the back half of this NFL draft in the fifth round. Again, you know, how much earlier he was supposed to be taken is debatable. But it's clear as we approach the draft that the teams were on a different page than the mock drafters and some of the analysts out there. I personally think by the time we'd gotten to Thursday, there was a consensus that he might not be picked in the first round. You know, there was a media consensus, which was starting to agree with the NFL, you know, front office consensus. So, look, the Shedeur Sanders situation, in many ways, there are a lot of layers to this story. You know, Dion, you know, to what Edward wrote, collusion. I'll get to that here in a moment. You know, college players like Shedeur Sanders being massive stars at the college level and earning lots of money, you know, close to $6, $7, maybe $8 million over 2 years at Colorado. There's a lot to this story you could get into, you know, in terms of race, in terms of, you know, league and ownership and quarterbacks, etc. I just don't think it's that complex. I think there are a lot of layers that are worth, you know, going into and contemplating, and I've done that over the last several days. And to me, it's kind of easy. Shedeur Sanders just flat out was not a first-round caliber prospect, period. If you watched college football over the last 2 years, it was impossible to miss Colorado games. It started in 2023. When Colorado, in Dion's first game as the coach, with his son Shiloh and with Shedeur and with Travis Hunter, they opened up with TCU. What a football game that was. 45-42, Colorado beat TCU. And it was like, wow. And Shedeur was incredible. He threw four touchdown passes. He threw for over 500 yards. The next week, they beat up on a better defensive team in Nebraska. He wasn't as impressive. And then the third week, they went to overtime and beat Colorado State in a thriller. And you're like, this dude's pretty good. What you're really thinking, though, is, God, this Travis Hunter is ridiculous. What ended up happening, though, was TCU was not a good team that year. They were a bad defensive team. Nebraska was not a good team. Colorado State was not a good team. And they ran up against Oregon in week four of the 2023 season. And I'll never forget it, because here's Colorado, the story of the college football season in 2023. There's no doubt. I mean, Dion and Shedeur and Shiloh and Travis Hunter had taken over the sport in the early portion of the schedule and the calendar in September, and they had to go to Oregon, which, by the way, was a Pac-12 team that year. Oregon was a 21-point favorite. That was crazy. You're like, what? Well, the odds makers knew Colorado wasn't very good. They weren't very good at all, actually. In fact, they stunk in 2023. Bad football team in 2023. They got run completely out of the building. 42-6 was the final score. This was the game in which Oregon coach Dan Lanning afterwards said, they're playing for clicks, we're playing for wins. But let me just say, early on, as a massive college football fan, I thought Shedeur looked the part, man. He was smooth. He had a presence about him. There was a certain charisma that he's always had in terms of his personality, the way he speaks, the way he plays. It's very kind of, you know, smooth, casual. Of course, it hurts him too. But he looked good early on. And then the more and more you watched him during his college football career, as they played better teams and higher caliber competition, you realized, if you were being honest, he's just okay. And then this year, it's like, yeah, he's a backup quarterback. Denton and I had these conversations, you know, a few times during the college football season, and I said, I don't see it. Denton saw it a little bit more than me with respect to he thought Shadur, you know, would at least be a first rounder. I'm like, this dude's a backup quarterback. Cam Ward is so much better of a prospect. That was when we were kind of debating the prospect, you know, positioning Ward or Shadur. I just didn't think any of the quarterbacks, this was just a bad quarterback year. I'm a big Cam Ward fan. I actually think Cam Ward's got a chance to be a really good quarterback in the NFL. We'll see. Who knows? You know, we're wrong about quarterbacks two-thirds of the time. So is the league. But I said multiple times during the season, I just don't see it. I thank God we don't have to pick a quarterback this year. Thank God we're not desperate for a quarterback this year. And there were teams desperate for quarterbacks, you know, New Orleans, the Giants, the Browns, the Steelers, and they didn't see it either. You know, see, here's the thing, Edward, back to your email in which you suggest that the draft is much more than just being this, you know, crapshoot that it turns into every year, which it is. Doesn't make it any less fun to consume as a football fan. But, you know, when you said that it's a lot more than just, you know, the unpredictable, you know, impossible to predict part of it. It's a chance for the NFL to make a statement on players and families they don't like. Shadur Sanders and family should sue the league for what happened over the weekend. It was disgusting. This was the reaction that I think anybody that was following this story saw a lot of the reaction. You know, it was collusion. It was, you know, it was Dion. It was race. It was all of these different things, you know. And then you started to hear, by the way, from a lot of the reporters, good reporters in the NFL, all of the stories coming out about how poorly he interviewed. You know, I read one of the stories that, I want to say it was Peter Schrager. It may have been somebody else. But a higher quality NFL reporter told the story about how, and we know this to be true because Mike Shanahan's told us this before, that one of the things teams do when they're interviewing quarterbacks prior to a draft to kind of gauge the kind of team player that quarterback is they'll actually put on some of the really bad plays that the quarterback had. I'll never forget Mike telling us the story on the air about the big concern. He had multiple concerns about RG3 before drafting him, and he shared those concerns with Dan and with Bruce. Number one was they were going to have to play football a completely different way because he was just not ready to be a traditional, you know, pocket passer. He just wasn't asked to do that at Baylor, and he wasn't comfortable doing that. And so it was going to take time for this quarterback to become, you know, a well-rounded quarterback. So they were going to have to play football a different way to get him on the field. So he expressed that and emphasized that with Bruce and Dan before that draft. The other thing he shared with us, I'll never forget, on the air, he said, we put on, I think it was Oklahoma State they were playing, and he had one of his worst games, and they put some of the plays on tape, and they watched him together, and he said, you know, Robert, and I think he said it was his father or somebody else was there, they could not, you know, get to quickly enough throwing the coach, Art Briles, and the play calling under the bus. It was just one, you know, blaming of somebody else for a couple of picks, a couple of bad decisions. And he said that was a concern. And he said that, you know, when you hear that from a player, it's a concern because they haven't been able to deal with adversity and haven't, you know, been, they don't handle it naturally. And that was the message to Dan and Bruce was, number one, we're going to have to play football a completely different way, which they did. You know, they went to, you know, the pistol, and they used RG3 as a true dual threat quarterback his rookie year, which had never been done in the NFL, not to the extent to which Washington had done it. Number two, they were really concerned about what would happen and how he would handle adversity. So fast forward to this draft, all the stories are coming out about the way Shadur, you know, interviewed, and some teams just crossed him off the list because he was an off-putting interview. But one of these specific stories was they put on some of his bad plays. A team that had a need for quarterback put on some of the bad plays, and he essentially said to the room, look, if you don't want to draft me, that's fine. There are plenty of other teams that do. Yeah, that's not the right answer. If that's true, that's not the right answer. You know, taking accountability is the right way. So, look, I think this is a story that has some interesting angles. I'm not going to deny that. You know, including the angle of having a player on the team with Deion and his presence looming over the franchise at that point. But for me, it comes down to this more than anything else. He was not a first-round prospect, period. His play indicated that. He didn't partake in a lot of the opportunities to prove in the offseason that some of the stuff they were seeing on tape wasn't him. It was more the offensive line. It was more, you know, the competition or the lack thereof. I mean, he had multiple, you know, NFL receivers on his team, including the best one in the country. But they had some offensive line issues, especially in 23, not as much in 2024. And they had a better season in 2024. But he was not a first-round prospect, okay? So let's just start there. Because all of the other stuff we can have a conversation about in terms of why he dropped to the fifth round instead of going in the second or third, which was probably more commensurate with the prospect that he was. But you have to understand that if you watch this player and you and the NFL, you know, was telling everybody basically, I don't think so. And we got that as we got closer to the draft. They just didn't see him as a first-round prospect because he wasn't a first-round prospect. Now, should all of those quarterbacks have been taken before him? Should we have seen, you know, here's the number. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 quarterbacks, Ward, Dart, Shook, Milrow, and Gabriel taken before Shadur Sanders? Was he a better prospect than Dylan Gabriel? Actually, I think he probably was, but Dylan Gabriel had certain facets of his game that were clearly more advanced than Shadur Sanders. Shadur Sanders took way too many sacks, held onto the ball way too long, did not process quickly. I thought he had good pocket presence. He also didn't have great arm strength, and he also was not the athlete his father was. Nowhere near the athlete Cam Ward is, or obviously not the athlete Jalen Milrow is. But you start with this, and I don't think this is actually debatable. He wasn't a first-round prospect. So then you go to this. You go to, is the juice worth the squeeze? If he's a backup NFL quarterback or a low-end starter, let's just say some team saw him as maybe at some point a low-end NFL starter. Is the juice worth the squeeze? It's not a direct comparison, a direct analogy to the Kaepernick situation. I think one of the things that gets overlooked in the Kaepernick situation, you know, even when you talk about it in hindsight, he was not a starting quarterback at that point in his career. Period. He was not one of the best 32. He was one of the best 64. There's no doubt that Colin Kaepernick, what are we talking about now? 8, 9 years ago, 7 years ago, 6 years ago, whatever it was not a starting quarterback, but he was definitely one of the best 64. He would have been a really solid high-level backup quarterback. But was it worth it? Was the circus that came with Kaepernick, which, by the way, also included, and this is where it's different than Shadur, you know, that came with business impact. Like, there were people that were boycotting the NFL to a certain degree, and imagine the team that had Kaepernick on it, they would have gone nuts because they felt that he was not patriotic. We don't need to go down that argument. It's not about that. It's about comparing it to Shadur. The juice wasn't worth the squeeze. to bring the media, have it descend on your team, have many of your customers say, bad, bad team, I'm not spending money on your team anymore, for a guy that was going to be your backup. Shedeur Sanders, different reasons, same thing. Was the juice worth it to bring Shedeur Sanders onto your team when you saw him as a low-end starter or a backup in this league when you were going to have, a kid that seemed entitled, at least according to the reports, seemed to lack much self-awareness at all with respect to, you know, how he handled his interviews, didn't interview well. Look, when you are, you know, a draft prospect and you go through these interviews, it's just like a job interview. Okay, you're not dictating to them. Now, sometimes you're in position to do that. He wasn't. There clearly was a detached sort of reality for the Sanders in terms of the prospect that they thought he was, he thought he was, and the way the NFL viewed him. So you got into the second round, and it's like, are we going to take this on? And then, by the way, have Deion hovering. By the way, I like Deion. Just as an aside, I've always liked Deion. I love Deion as a player. I like Deion as a coach. Deion's straight old school. It's actually surprising that some of the things that came out with him saying outwardly, yeah, we're not going to let him play for that team. You know, he didn't say it specifically about Cleveland, but there's that one interview where he's like, yeah, Cleveland, no, we would really like the Giants. But he talked about, you know, pulling the Archie Manning, you know, move. By the way, those that think that Archie Manning skated free during that whole time, you've got a terrible memory. He was lit up. People were furious with the Mannings and what they pulled back then. But, you know, we didn't have social media. It was a different media landscape. But you get to teams wondering, is it worth it? Is it worth it to bring him on? Finally, Cleveland said fifth rounder, because you know what, as a fifth rounder versus a second rounder, if it doesn't work out, and by the way, there's no guarantee it will, they can cut him. I mean, they don't have much invested in him. There were better players with less noise in the earlier rounds. I was surprised they took Dillon Gabriel and then traded back for Shedeur Sanders. But look, all you got to do is, if you really believe it's collusion, I mean, that is way out there. This league is about winning football games. Cam Newton, his stock was dropping big time before the 2011 draft. Cam Newton was thought to be arrogant, entitled, going to be a difficult teammate. There were people questioning how bright he was and how capable he was from an intellect standpoint to play the position. Remember, he had taken the money to go to Auburn, which was illegal back then, and there were a lot of teams, you know, basically in a lot of reporting, Cam could drop big time, but he didn't. You know why? Because he was a legitimate first-round prospect. He was a legitimate first player in the draft prospect, and that's where Carolina picked him. How about a year ago, Caleb Williams? How about all the stuff about Caleb Williams throughout that spring? Remember, initially it was, we may pull, you know, a Manning kind of thing and dictate where we want to go. You know, there was a lot of that. The equity. Remember them discussing, you know, that maybe Caleb Williams would be the first player to receive, as part of his compensation structure, equity in the team? There was a lot going around about Caleb Williams. What happened? Too much talent. Too good of a prospect as a football player. Pick number one overall. That's not what Shedeur Sanders was. He was not a first-round prospect. And then it became about, is this really worth it to bring the circus to town by taking him and putting him on our team as a backup quarterback and maybe one day as a low-end starter? Now, the good news for him is he got picked. He's going to go to a team that does not have a definitive starter at this point. I mean, the Browns, they've got 40-year-old Joe Flacco. They've got Dillon Gabriel, who they picked. They got Deshaun Watson, whose career clearly seems to be over. They've got Kenny Pickett. Like, he's got a chance to go in and completely change the narrative on him personally, the surrounding cast, and him as a player. There's an opportunity to compete for a starting job in Cleveland. So for a young person who, by the way, has made a lot of money in his, you know, very young life so far playing football in college, you'd love to see kind of a total turn on the narrative. I think the chances are almost 50-50. He either ends up being an NFL quarterback at some level, or the Browns could move on from him before the season even starts. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Your thoughts on Shedeur Sanders dropping to the fifth round. Why did it happen? We'll take calls on that. 11 a.m., we'll talk some NBA with Chris Miles. We'll get into this stadium issue with Barry Zwerluga at 12, and we'll definitely talk some draft, Skins draft, with Fred Smoot next hour as well. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, the team980.com. We're streaming live 10 to 1 every day on Team 980's YouTube page. Hit the subscribe button and hit the like thumbs up for us if you don't mind.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high-quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Jonathan Jones from CBS Sports reported yesterday, I think it was, that Shedeur Sanders on purpose sandbagged many of the interviews, meaning he intentionally did poorly because he didn't want to play in those places. Jonathan Jones said, quote, at some of those combine meetings with certain teams that maybe Shedeur Sanders didn't really want to go to, I was told that he more or less sandbagged in those interviews. I don't know if he didn't take them seriously what it was, but he did not give it his all in some of those interviews, rub some teams the wrong way. And it was, you know, earlier in the season where Deion had said there are certain cities where it ain't going to happen. It's going to be an Eli situation. We ain't doing that. Closed quote. Obviously, they got to a point in the draft where any team that picked him was okay. And it ended up being a team in which Deion had actually said no about, which was Cleveland. Early on. Also, so many of the stories are coming out about various interviews pre-draft with him. And the Giants seem to be the biggest leakers of these stories, for what it's worth, because it would appear as if some of the reporting is that the meeting in which they showed him some of his bad plays and he essentially said, you know, maybe I'm not the guy for you. As they were showing the bad plays, that may have been in New York. Yeah, that's not a good answer, you know. And there is, remember, tone and context to everything. But yeah, I think there's enough smoke around Shedeur's interview situation leading up to the draft to know that the interview process did not go well. And look, like, these players now are, you know, relatively speaking, wealthy heading into these interviews. You know, he earned somewhere between six and ten million dollars in the 2 years at Colorado. You know, he's a busy guy managing his money. And this is going to be part of the challenge. We've seen this, you know, overall in sports now, is that, you know, on one hand, it's good that teams can see what these players are like once they make money, because that was always a big issue. You know, what is he going to be like when he finally starts making money for the first time in his life? You know, will he be as dedicated to the game? They can see that a little bit coming in, but also they're dealing in many cases with guys who, you know, have some decision-making ability in terms of happiness, in terms of lifestyle, etc. But if you want to play in the NFL, the rules still apply. There's a draft. And the team that drafts you is the team you got to go to. All right, what's your reaction? To me, I'll net it out. It's a lot simpler than a lot of the layered complexities that people have tried to create. It is, he wasn't a first-round prospect, and then it became about, is it really worth it to bring him and the entire media circus to town for a guy that's going to be a backup quarterback or maybe at some point down the road a low-end starter? And then, you know, if you throw onto it, we didn't like him when we interviewed him. I'm going to leave that out of it because I think the simple part is he wasn't a first-round prospect, and then it's about, you know, are there other prospects that are just better at these spots and we don't have to deal with the three-ring, you know, reaction to it. All right, phone lines are open, 301-230-0980. Want to hear your reaction to something we just haven't had a chance to get to this week, the Shedeur Sanders story, which, by the way, became a story in the way it was covered. You know, Mel Kiper was all in on Shedeur Sanders being his number one quarterback, and he went off. I'm a big Mel fan, and anybody that's ever known Mel a lot more than people like me, he's one of the most beloved people that's ever worked in sports broadcasting. But that it hijacked the night. I actually found it to be kind of entertaining, and the ratings were through the roof, so I don't think ESPN's complaining. But ultimately, it just became much more about Shedeur Sanders than anybody else that was picked, including, by the way, Cam Ward at number one overall. You know, we got a little bit of Cam Ward when he got picked, and then after that, it was all about Shedeur. Now, I didn't watch every network on Thursday night. I watched primarily the ESPN pro coverage, you know, with Kiper, et cetera, Riddick. And by the way, I think Lewis Riddick, he's not my favorite, but I think he does a really good job on the NFL draft coverage. Really good job. He is really prepared. I did not watch a lot of the NFL Network stuff. All right, phone lines open, 301-230-0980. Let's start with my guy Robert in Annapolis. Robert, go ahead.
Hey, Kevin. Now, remember, Mel Kiper also thought Jimmy Clausen was the number one rated draft. So, yeah. Mel actually went to my high school's rival high school up in Baltimore. But anyhow, I agree with you totally. That's exactly what it was. He was not rated to the level that they thought he was, or his family thought he was, or these prognostic. There's a difference between scouts and general managers think and what prognosticators think. But you referenced the Mannings. You didn't mention your boy, the original
Elway
holdout.
Yeah, yes. but remember of course, John Elway. Which, by the way,
remember what the issue was? Do you remember what the issue was?
Yeah, it was Irsay.
No, it was an issue between John Elway's father, Jack Elway, who I believe was in coaching out west, and Frank Cush, who was
the coach.
Frank Cush, who came out of Arizona State, so I forget the exact situation, but there was a problem with John Elway's father having his son play for Frank Cush. That's where all that, other than the fact that, you know,
Robert, remember, there's a big difference between John Elway and Eli Manning. John Elway had baseball legitimately as an option. He was drafted very high by the Yankees, and he could use baseball as, look, if I end up going to Baltimore, I'm going to go play baseball. Eli didn't have baseball as an option.
I remember that. I always thought that was a bit of a bluff. Yes, he may have had that option. He was never going to be the baseball player he was as a football player. But I want to ask you this. Maybe you know this answer, because I don't. Is it possible now, or do you think it will come about with these players? They have to, for the NFL, have to be in college for 2 years. I forget there's an age restriction that doesn't apply, like, to the NBA or something
it's
like
three
that.
3 years from high school.
All right, can they declare and get drafted, and now with the money in college, suppose they don't like their situation, can they just go back if they still have eligibility and play in college, or do they have to drop down to a lower division? I'm just wondering what the option.
Yeah, no, it's a good question, and the rules just keep changing. I think once you declare for the draft, you're in the draft, and your eligibility is up in college. I think there's a deadline to which you can't return.
All right, but suppose you don't get drafted.
That's always been an issue. Yes. I mean, for players that don't get drafted, you know, whether it's basketball or football, over the years, I've always felt like that's silly that they don't let them go back and, you know, and play college sports. And by the way, also, you know, potentially, if they're interested, have a chance to get their degree.
All right, thanks for taking my call. But I think that's going to come about. There's going to be, as things change, players are going to be able to go back to college if they don't want to go with the team that drafted them. Thanks for taking my call.
All right, thanks. Let's go to EJ in D.C. EJ, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Yeah, I want to say this about Shakur Sanders. It's always a double standard when it comes to black quarterbacks. And I know there's a lot of them. And the thing I'm saying is, Mel Kiper, all of them had him rated high all this year. Everybody had him rated high all this year.
And except for the NFL the draft, scouts, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's to remain to be seen. Because Mel Kiper has never been that far off. Todd McShay has never been that far off about a quarterback. And all of a sudden, with Shador, if it's because of his baggage and the media's and his out of football entrepreneurship and all that, I agree. You might don't want that in your locker room. But don't try to downplay his talent. None of them quarterbacks, besides Cam Ward, was more talented on the field or productive on the field than him. None of them were.
Yeah. And the production argument, it doesn't fly, because you've had many quarterbacks that have had almost, you know, historic numbers not get picked or get picked very late in drafts. Look, you know, you mentioned Kiper. You know who else he was dead wrong about? Johnny Manziel. Johnny Manziel was supposed to go super high, but there were major issues in the evaluation of Johnny Manziel, the person. By the way, also a short quarterback, and that ended up playing into it as well. And now he did drop significantly, but still went in the first round.
But they drafted a 5'9 quarterback before they drafted Shadur.
But I know they did. I know. Dylan Gabriel getting picked before him is a head scratcher for me too. But I didn't like the. I didn't think he was a first round talent. EJ, I just didn't. I mean, what do we know? But I just didn't see an NFL starting quarterback.
Yeah, I think he was second round. But all I'm saying is, you just can't hear this talent. Now, I don't know if I would have wanted him on my team, because I understand what you're saying about the locker room. He's going to walk in there. I seen an interview where they asked the guy asked him, said, well, when you get your check, what you going to buy? What's what you want? And you know what he said? He said, I already bought everything I want. Yeah. So I can understand that that about him not being draftable because of that. But his talent on the field, Tyler Shuck, he hasn't showed you more than Shadur Sanders. What you going to say?
Well, he actually looks more the part because he's 6'5", and he's a big strapping dude. But I'm with you on Shadur. It sounds like we agree. Yeah. Neither one of us think that he was a first-round talent, which immediately means you go to part two of this, which is, okay, you see him as a low-end starter maybe, but more likely than not a backup quarterback. Do you want all that comes with drafting him as a potential backup quarterback? Yeah. And I think that's where the slide really took
place. But one more thing, and I'm not saying you, right? But other people on these talk shows and I listen, right? They did the same thing to Trent Williams. When Trent was leaving, they said Trent was no more good. He fell off. He did this.
Well, that was our dumb organization.
He was nothing. And he didn't. That organization, I'm talking about on these sports channels. Everybody was talking about Trent fell off. He wasn't that good no more. He not worth this and he not worth that. And now he's back to the same way he was all the time. All I'm using that for is sometimes if you don't like a person because of the off-the-field stuff or whatever, you don't have to dilute his talent. Thanks for taking my call.
All right, thanks for the call. Yeah, I was going to say something else before you said that. Trent Williams had the issues really with the organization over the cancer diagnosis, which he blamed the organization for not being more proactive when a lot of people in the organization were saying behind the scenes they were the ones trying to set up these doctor's appointments, and it took a while for Trent to actually act on them. And they didn't like that he had thrown Dan in particular under the bus because Dan had been such a big supporter of the player during, remember, weed suspensions, etc., during the early portion of his career. All right, let's see if we can get another call in after the break. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
All right, last night, the Nats lose on a wild pitch after taking the lead in the ninth. Bryson Stott came home to score. The Nats lose 7-6. They'll continue their series tonight. Pre-game at 6:15, right here on the Team 980. UNC personnel is increasingly worried that Jordan Hudson's influence on Bill Belichick, quote, could become a problem, end quote, per TMZ Sports. Belichick and Hudson's recent appearance on CBS Morning's interview is, quote, not sitting well, end quote, with UNC. The Washington Capitals look to close out their series against the Montreal Canadiens. Alex Ovechkin was not on the ice yesterday. That was just a maintenance day. He was on the ice this morning for a morning skate. Logan Thompson was the first goalie off the ice. He will get the start. Taylor Radish was skating with scratches, and Alexei Protas came off with the rest of the team. You'll likely see him tonight as well. Pregame at 6:45 on 106.7 The Fan. This update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in the Team 980, and hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live from 10 to 1, and Craig Hoffman from 4 to 7. Don't forget to like the stream and to turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports. And that's what's trending.
Yes.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
I'm wearing a Washington football team hoodie, but it does not have Commanders anywhere on it. Just so those of you that were upset know, I have a couple of things, and I didn't even purchase them, that have the W on it. That's all I own. I have like a hoodie that I'm wearing now with the W on it. And I have a couple of, I have a hat with a W on it. I don't have anything that says Commanders, just for those of you that seem to care so much. But thanks for watching. We are streaming on the YouTube 980 channel.
Check out my Fun Bunch t-shirt too.
And hit the like button. What'd you say?
Got a Fun Bunch t-shirt that I came in yesterday.
Old school Fun Bunch.
Old school,
nice.
Baby.
Nice. Sorry,
if we were doing apparel talk, I had to plug it in.
What'd you say?
If we were doing apparel talk, I had to plug it a little bit.
There you go. Robert in Ocean City. Robert, quickly, go.
Yes. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, Robert.
You talk about the production. Yes, you talk about the production aspect. Remember, Cole Brennan shattered all college records, and he fizzled out in the NFL. He was a training camp hero for Washington back in the day, but... I heard a report that Shedeur Sanders only took one or two snaps under center, so he's really never been trained to have his back turned against the defense. And I
that's
think
a lot of college quarterbacks, though. Cam Ward, same thing.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. But I just want to know, do you think Cleveland's going to maximize that fifth-round value and turn him into a Cordell Stewart, Antoine Randall L-type flash?
He's not athletic.
Person or...
He's not an athletic player. No. He's not Cordell Stewart or Antoine Randall L. He's a pocket passer. That's really – he's got excellent pocket presence. He doesn't process quickly enough at this point, doesn't throw with enough anticipation. He doesn't have a big arm. But, no, that's not the quarterback kind of quarterback he is. He's not that guy. His comp was Kirk Cousins. By the way, drafted in the fourth round, if he can have the career Kirk had, drafted in the fifth round, I think he'd take it. Lap in D.C. Lap, finish it up for us. Go ahead.
No problem. Hey,
what's up, Lap? You're on.
Kevin, thanks.
Yep.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Hey, I think he dropped down a lot, too, from his father. I mean, his talent is there. You know what I'm saying? He can actually play. But I would like to see him on the field. And there were some teams I did want him to go to, the Giants, either Cleveland, Saints, or Pittsburgh. We had a legitimate chance to actually play. So I guess we're going to see. He already got money. So now it's about playing and legacy and, you know what I'm saying, his future. Hey, yeah. Kevin, quick question. What do you, because you said he wasn't a first-round talent, do you think he's comparable on the same level of any of those other quarterbacks that got picked in the first round, like McCarthy or Drake May?
They're different, right? Like Jalen Milroe is completely different. Jalen Milroe got picked for a completely different reason. Thanks, by the way, for the call. He's not Cam Ward. I personally view Jackson Dart and Tyler Shook as backup quarterbacks or low-end starters in the league. That's my view. What do I know? Dylan Gabriel's the one that surprises me because he is super short, and you just don't see many examples of super short quarterbacks succeeding. Now, he processes lightning quick. I mean, super quick. So there is that. All right, let's move on. Some wild NBA games last night in the postseason. Chris Miles from NBA TV next.